but I can barely hear you, though.
Yeah, he's coming. I'm just bringing it to him. There you go.
Is that better?
Hello?
Still there?
Yeah, we hung up on him. Jesus fucking Christ. You're hanging up on Martin Popoff.
Oh, man.
Your call has been
Fuck.
With automatic voice message system.
Yeah, I know. Fuck.
Hello?
We only deal with professionals, Mr. Popoff.
Right on. Cool.
You can thank the Source Circuit City.
Yeah.
They're our sole equipment sponsor. I'm kidding. Anyway.
You guys are being pretty technical.
Unfucking real. Can you believe
this?
You guys
recording digital or a cassette?
No, it's a digital voice recorder.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, I'm still on cassette over here.
Get out of town. I was, too, actually, last month because this thing broke down. I had to pull out the old school. But, yeah, I still do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so here's Grim.
Okay.
Hi, Martin. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Excellent. Good to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'm holding your latest book in my hands here, The Collector's Guide of Heavy
Hello?
Metal, Volume 3.
Oh my god. Holy fuck. Okay, we're gonna leave it like that now.
Okay. Why did the tongue hang it up?
It's because. This poor fucking guy.
Hello, Martin.
Yeah.
This is Grim once again.
Okay.
We're not going to touch anything. We're just actually going to talk.
Good idea.
Okay, probably the best idea, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm holding your latest book here. It came via courier.
Can you get a little closer?
Right close to the phone. Working on right now.
Well, let's see. The Judas Priest book is coming out in about a month, but I haven't been working on that for a long, long time. And, you know, they go through the chain of all the other stuff they have to do, and you kind of put it out of your mind. But what I'm almost finished up with is this new Ye Olde Metal book, which is the second one, which is 1973 to 75. So I've just been writing up the story of Buffalo Only Want You for Your Body and fixing up the Robbenschauer Bridge of Sighs. And I talked to Andy Chernoff from The Dictators, so I've got to go girl crazy to get written up. And
excellent.
What else? Just editing up our magazine, doing a few interviews for that. Just talked to Dino from Fear Factory today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean Divine Heresy, sorry.
And
the new band.
Oh, okay. That's Brave Words magazine.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, you're a busy fellow. You also do reviews for Hard Radio.
Yep.
And, of course, Brave Words and Bloody Knuckles.
Yeah, and the book stuff you just put in kind of in between, but a little bit for Goldmine as well, a little bit for Guitar World, Lollipop, although Lollipop's kind of going more probably just online starting around now. But
I see.
The main thing is Brave Words and Bloody Knuckles in the books, I'd say.
And over 105 issues.
Yeah, we're on 107 right now we're working on.
You're working on 107. When can we see that?
That will be out in about a month. I haven't actually seen 106 yet, but apparently it's out now. So
Very good. Now, we were talking about the Facebook Meat Magazine reunion coming up.
Yeah, I don't know much about that. I run into Drew every once in a while. I'm not sure what his plan is, but he kind of wants to get back into the business somehow. And it remains to be seen how he does that. They've been putting together a few little metal showcase shows that he's shown up at and he'll talk at and stuff. And I guess he's easing himself back into the business.
I see. Excellent. Good. Now, you've been working with Tim for how long now?
1994 was our first issue. We made it on my photocopier. That's when he had a lot of hours at HMV.
Yes.
And it originally started as just metal Timbits, a little kind of just a factoid news magazine. And then it started out just black ink on gray stock and then moved up to what it is now.
Excellent. Very good. And where does it go from here?
Well, Tim is very much obsessed in spending a lot of time on the website, and the website's been really, really popular and successful and loads of traffic, but he spends so much of his time just getting news pieces put together, getting news from wherever, getting them from the writers, putting them up there. I mean, our news at the website, you know, there's a new news thing going up every few minutes kind of thing, and it's become a really good site for news. We put a lot of reviews there. We put stories there. The board itself, the discussion board, is like really, really hopping. So, you know, the magazine, like, it's a lot of money out and a lot of money in, and there's not a lot left over at the end. But the site seems to be almost like the happier part of the story now. And there's a lot of time being spent on making the site really good.
Excellent. So the magazine obviously is drawing people to the website.
Yeah, well, who knows? You know, it's funny. You go over to the Brave Board, it's called, and there's all these guys that are on there talking metal all day, every day, and then it slips out every once in a while that, you know, a whole lot of them don't even buy the magazine. So,
I see.
I'm going to cut in and ask if there's any validity to that board compared to that horrific Blabbermouth.
Well, Blabbermouth, it's funny.
That's for 12-year-olds, I think.
Yeah, and it's the mortal enemy, you know. Tim just gets really, really upset about Blabbermouth. I mean, he spends a lot of time getting mad at when they get some news before we get some news. So that just shows you how dedicated Tim is to the site and the news. He's turned into a real news hound, basically. Yeah,
that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
So now, where do you find the time to write all these reviews? Like 3,000 in one volume here.
Yeah, well, you know,
and still run one of the most successful metal magazines out there.
Number one, I guess I'm not the guy running the magazine. I mean, I have my duties, but the thing is, I'm one of the few guys that's probably full time at this. I mean, this is my full time job. And what happened with that book that just came out, the '90s one, is the original source for it was, I did an indie version back in '93, but in '97 there was just like the Collector's Guide to Heavy Metal. And then after that, we started breaking it up into, there's a volume one in the 70s that came out in 03, there's a volume two in the 80s that came out in 05, and then this 90s one.
Right.
And all of them had tons and tons and tons of reviews added to them, and I guess the three together is almost 7,000 reviews. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, where do I have the time? And I guess it started in 89, and you know, the first whole wave of all those. I mean, the writing was horrific, too. I'm just so embarrassed by, like, all the old writing. But it started in 89, and I guess I've been doing it kind of ever since, but full-time since about 90. I can never remember this, 96 or 98.
Hmm. Now, just leafing through it, we were talking yesterday about how do you draw the line between what's a heavy metal album and what isn't.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was different for all those three decades. I mean, for the 70s, it's actually a big, harder question because everything leans into, you can lean into Southern rock, you can lean into prog, you can lean into punk, you can lean into AOR and poppy stuff.
Yeah.
But for the 90s book, that totally wasn't an issue. Because, you know, there's 3,000-something reviews in there. I basically had a 500-page limit. And, you know, there are thousands of things missing in the 90s book and hundreds of things missing in the 80s book and dozens of things missing in the 70s book. So the 70s book, there was all this sort of, I even had a funny rating system there saying, here's a heaviness rating and here's how good it is rating.
Oh, I see.
Because that one had that question all the time. You're thinking, is this heavy enough to be in the book or not? And by the 80s, you know, there was tons and tons of metal, and there was really no question anymore.
Right.
And the 90s, same thing. So.
Yes. So, I see. So, And the influence is obviously from the past on the present, giving the present a much broader metal influence, I would say.
Well, the present has, you know, stuff that, number one, there's all sorts of stuff, way, way more than I can write about, that is unarguably heavy. And then, of course, there's 25 different heavy metal genres in the 90s, and
that's
only
right,
10 in the 80s, and only, like, 3 in the 70s or whatever.
Right.
So,
Do you have a favorite genre right now?
No, you know, I'm just an old man, so, I mean, my favorite genre is all the classics, the classic rock I grew up with. You know, everybody's favorite music is the stuff they listened to first when they were 15, 16, 17, 18. So when it comes to genres, it's not really a genre. It's just I like all the guys that are like 11 and a half years older than me, basically.
I see, yeah. Well, that does make sense. Yeah, I'm the same way very much.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why that is, but it's almost like, you know, I have a hard time listening to and taking seriously anybody who's half my age.
Right.
You know, making art and saying, here's some art, go take something away from this. And it's like, well, you're like 22 years old. Yes. Like, what am I going to take away from this?
No
and
sense
it's
of
like,
history.
All those other guys were all older than us. They were all like your older, cooler cousin or older, cooler brother or father figures or whatever, and they remain that because they're always going to be five, you know, they're always going to be 11 and a half years older than you, so.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today, Martin.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.